masked savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is your humble host, Zainab. Dear listeners, this is the program The Last Savior, and we had been talking about the false claimants of Mahdi. Either they say they are Mahdi themselves, or they say they are one or the other way attached to Imam Mahdi, ajallullah ta'ala faraj. Now, we had been analyzing the tricks that were being used by these false claimants in the previous episodes. And now, in this episode as well, we'll analyze some more tricks so that people may be more and more aware and very much cautious not to get entrapped into these tricks. And on that note, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure again invite Dr. Murtaza Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for accepting the invitation again.
My pleasure.
Dr. Karimi, as we had been talking about these tricks, I get back to the fact that, you know, it's always said that prevention is better than cure in terms of health. So here also, people need to be aware about the tricks so that they do not get trapped into these tricks, and after these getting trapped, the cure is really hard. So that's why prevention is better than cure even here. And this famous quote was said by Imam Ali al-Islam, basically. I would want you to analyze some more tricks that are being used by these claimants in order to trap people.
Sure. The next one that I would like to mention might seem at the first glance very weird, but when we go into it deeply, we come to this conclusion that these people, very purposefully, they have chosen this technique. And that is the fact that many of these movements run by these false claimants, we see that they are inviting the people to be away from the religious scholars. Why? Because we know that in the whole history of Islam, the main enemies to these false claimants were the scholars. And that is why they also, these false claimants, they tried to ask the people to be away, ask their followers to be away from the religious scholars. And even they called the religious scholars as, deviant people.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wherein the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, says that they are our, we call in Persian as Janishin.
Yeah,
as kind of. The religious scholars. Even in one of the narrations, Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, says that may Allah's mercy be on these people, these religious scholars, who are spreading Islam.
Yeah, general successors and deputies.
Who are spreading the truth, basically. And since these people who are religious scholars are obviously open enemies to these claimants, and that's why the first thing is
that's
that they
exactly,
claim to stay away from these
yeah,
people.
Yeah, that's exactly the philosophy and the wisdom behind that. Let me just quote and refer to some stories and events in this regard, and you see that how they try to make their followers away from the religious scholars. Regarding the Baha'i school of thought or Baha'ism, he was Hussein Ali Baha, one of the key figures. He was so a serious enemy to the scholars that it is mentioned that he never sat on a minbar, on a pulpit. Because he said that this is the place for these people, for these so-called scholars, and even I'm not going to sit on the same place. According to him, whenever he compared the scholars of his time to Pharaoh at the time of Prophet Musa, and he called the scholars as the Pharaoh or the Pharaohs of his
times.
Time. Yeah. He also called the scholars as the thieves of the true path. Not only that, they mentioned that, according to some of the key figures in Baha'ism, that the main reason for the fact that we have some deviation in the religion of Islam is the corruption of the religious scholars. If we have some innovations in Islamic society, it is because of the so-called scholars, and so on and so forth. And the same can be seen in the sayings of many other false claimants. Another one, again, I'm not going to mention his name, he says that, you see, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is not going to reappear. You know why we are not able to take benefit from the Imam of the time? Do you know what is the reason of all these fitnas and problems and the fact
troubles
that...
Troubles around.
Yeah, troubles. And do you see all these vices which are widespread among the Shias and so on and so forth? He mentions all of them, and then he says that the main cause for all these problems are the religious scholars.
Oh my God.
This is the viewpoint of this person. And when it comes to this false claimant from Basra, again, he's a very, harsh enemy to the religious scholars. And, explicitly he has mentioned that. But as you rightly mentioned, there are many narrations in our sources, from the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, asking the Shia to just, follow these religious scholars. Not only that, we see that the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, sometimes they appointed some of their companions, who were the religious scholars, to, for example, sit in the mosque of the Prophet and give fatwa, give the Islamic verdict, meaning that the Imam trusts him so much that he says that just sit in the mosque and do not quote narration from me. You yourself are able to give the Islamic rule for the people. Mm-hmm. In many cases, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, when they were asked to debate regarding different Islamic issues, they asked their companions to do that, which means that they trusted them the most.
In fact, it is stated that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the school of thought basically expanded in his time, basically sets up a university wherein he introduces so many courses, introduces so many subjects of Islam, and then he sees which student is best at which subject, and then arranges debates in between them, and always gives them time to go for conferences, to give lectures and all. That means Imam here is basically encouraging these people to come up and start speaking.
And not only that, there are narrations talking about the religious scholars during the major occultation. In one narration, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam says that if it was not for the existence of scholars at the time of major occultations, so that people may refer to them and ask their questions and they defend the religion of Islam, then all the people would abandon belief in religion and become apostate. So right. The reason that people continue to believe in the religion of Islam and the Shia school of thought is the fact that we have all these religious scholars during the major occultation. So again, if we see any person asking the people to be away from the religious scholars, it is again a sign for the fact that he is just a liar
again. Yeah. All right, Dr. Karimi, we'll be talking to you. Here we need to take a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever.
And the last trick that in this series of sessions I would like to mention is also, unfortunately, very misleading. And it is about the titles given by these false claimants to those simple-minded people. Imagine a false claimant, he has some claims to be imam or the gate to the imam. Some people come to believe in him. And then he, addressing those people, he gives them some great names and titles. Right. So that person would feel, so much delighted that
right.
I was given this title by this person who is Imam Mahdi or a deputy of the Imam.
Right.
So
he'll be on the cloud nine.
Yeah, exactly. He will have a great confidence and he would or she would believe in him even more than before. So this is one of the tricks used by these false claimants, just to give without any justification, haphazardly, I mean, any title to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share some of these titles which are interesting. For example, one of these false claimants, contemporary one, he calls his followers that you are the people of the cave for me.
All right.
So without any reason, we know how great the people of the cave, Ashab al-Kahf, are. So he just mentioned and introduces his followers and companions as the people of the cave.
And people get flattered.
Yeah, that's the point. In another person, addressing a lady who believes in one of these false claimants, he says the following: you are, O my sister, the honor for Islam. You are a great mystic. You are one of the brilliant stars in the sky of truth.
Oh my God.
And you are the Zahra of the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how people believe in that, but there is no comparison with Lady Zahra. Not even the dust of her feet.
Sure.
Nobody, like, I don't know. We have so many great scholars today. And people, you know, people kill themselves to reach mysticism. And this person is simply labeling this lady as a mystic.
Yeah, maybe one of the reasons is that, I mean, these people, in some cases at least, they are suffering from some psychological disorder when it comes to their personality. So as soon as a person pays attention to them, giving them such titles, then they would believe in him.
Basically.
And that is why these people, they are using this trick. So again, people should be aware when we hear such terms, which, as you rightly mentioned, to be the Zahra of the time is not something to be claimed even for any women, even be it Lady Khadija Salamullahi Alayha or Asya. No woman can be likened to Lady Zahra Salamullahi Alayha, who is Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, the mistress of all the women in the whole world. I think we mentioned 6 or 7 tricks which are used by these false claimants to deceive the people, like doing istikhara, dream, writing arida, making up some forged family trees, giving titles to other people, and so on and so forth, and also miracles. These are the most important ones and the most widespread one among the false claimants of the Mahdawiyya. From time to time, some new tricks would be used by these people, but these are the most important ones. And we hope that people increase their knowledge and insight about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the true ways through which we are able to know the Imam of the time are mentioned in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. One of them is knowledge. One of them is the fact that he needs to have some of the, for example, weapons which belong to our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and the features of these weapons are mentioned in the narrations. So people need to, be very careful when it comes to any person who claims to be the Imam of the time.
And I think we have so many narrations saying that Imam, once he will emerge, it will be in Kaaba, not in Basra or any other place.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, for the false claimants of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, this is the point, but some of them, they just claim to be deputies of the imams, and it makes the situation a bit complicated for the people.
Yes, it definitely makes when someone says, I am connected to Imam. And like you rightly mentioned in the previous episodes as well, like, I am the intermediate, I'll take Ariza to Imam, I'll take your letter to Imam, and like...
Just let me repeat one sentence, that whoever claims that I'm able to see Imam Mahdi alayhi salam whenever I want, I'm a special deputy of the Imam, he is just a liar. This is something for sure that, this is a reality mentioned in many narrations of the Ahlul Bayt. So whoever claims to be a special deputy or intermediary between the people and the Imam...
So we cannot accept the claim that there are people, they meet Imam whenever they like, whenever they want. So there's nothing like that, and we need to be aware, we need to take care of these things. Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, for being with us. Dear listeners, that was all for today. Thank you so much for being with us. Until then, this is Zainab Askari with her whole team saying goodbye.